It is working. You unmuted too.
We saw you unmute, Bob, so we're assuming you're probably good to go. We're just waiting for one more commissioner who has promised to be here at any moment. I guess I'll return on my stuff.
Huh? He probably didn't hear me. I don't know. Jose, I project. Bria, how you doing? What does that look? Everyone, when I come walking, this side of the room has that look going on. What's going on? We haven't started our meeting yet.
A DOL class, so I left there to come over here.
You did what?
I left a DOL class to come over here. No, but it's for our clients.
You all good?
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm giving her two more minutes. She said she's turning down seven.
We can always just start and then just.
I think I want to have all the commissioners here.
Okay, whatever.
I think I want to have all the commissioners here to start this today, if we got them coming. Is that okay, Ann? I'm trying not to be a stinker. But since you sent me a message, I think this will be good. Late Happy Father's Day to, I guess it would be this side of the room.
Late Happy Father's Day to that half of the room and to anyone else out there.
I just learned that Alma's a golfer now. I don't even know who you are anymore.
I'm a brand new person. That's why I, you know.
Oh, now you hurt my soul. That's just dirty.
Oh my goodness.
Hi, Daniela. We kind of held things off waiting for you here on this today. No. It's all good. All right. Let's go ahead and call today's meeting for June 16th, 2025 of the Othello Planning Commission to order at 6:03. We will start out with excused absences. Oh, there's none because everyone's here. So with that, let's start with roll call, starting with you, Maria, if you could announce your name and we'll go left from there.
Maria Martinez here.
Ruth Sawyer.
Alma Carmona here.
Chris Doro.
Daniela Voorhees here.
Yeah, it's green. Can you hear me? Daniela Voorhees here.
Garza here.
All right, looks like we're all registered. I'd like to start our meeting with public input. I know we have one on the internet that has public input today. Does anyone else before we go to the internet? Okay, seeing none, we'll take the public input, I believe, that's coming in via internet. State your name, where you live, and go ahead and tell us what you want to talk about.
I think that's us, but I see another name logged in. I just wanted to make sure. So I'll guess that Bob Carlson is waiting. We're Cody and Nicole Nelson, and we own the mobile home park at 70 East Juniper Street. And we understand that the current city ordinance doesn't allow for expansion. And we wanted to ask if the city would be open to changing that ordinance, allowing us to replace the existing small single apartment. It's a two-bedroom apartment building that is on the property with new manufactured homes.
So where are we looking at, Ann?
This is, Nicole, can you remind me what the cross street for your park is?
Address is 70 East Juniper. I'm not sure what the, right off First, car wash in between First and the, there's a car wash in between First and the
is
park itself.
Ramirez and the First, or is it further back?
Yeah, we're just running up location.
Yeah, the juniper is on the north. I think the north side of it, but then the car wash is on the south side. And that's on First Street. There we go. Elm.
Yeah, sits in between first or.
Oh, that car wash. Gotcha.
Car wash.
They're behind the car wash. Okay, that is currently zoned what?
So it's split zoning. So it's C2 on the east half and C3 on the west half.
So it's all commercial?
All commercial.
Okay.
And here, right here, if you can see where my cursor is the building they'd be looking at replacing. Existing, I believe it's a block building.
They want to, and the, what is the building replacement that we're looking at to replacing it with?
So in January, we hired a contractor to replace the roof because of a roof leak. And unfortunately, he tore the roofing off and then abandoned the project for over 2 weeks, creating a lot of water damage. And so we're now in a situation where we need to renovate the building. And so there's a 2-bedroom, 1-bath apartment in the building. But then there's also some unused space. There is some like shower washroom facilities from probably decades past when it maybe was a mixed use RV mobile park. So I had reached out and spoke to Ann Henning about our ability to change that existing plan for that building. And that's when I learned that we could build up to 3 units on that space. And so my husband, Cody, spoke with Tim Unruh and our contractor and a designer about expanding up. And so in order to expand up, which would allow us to do potentially 4 units, we'd have to actually take the whole building down. And we are licensed mobile manufactured home dealer in the state of Washington. And so we were thinking that, well, if we could actually put 3 new manufactured homes in that spot instead, that would allow us, because we already have funding in place for that, that would allow us to avoid having to build a whole new structure. But that's when I spoke to Ann today and was informed, reminded that we have a non-conforming park and that the city will allow currently for us to put more manufactured homes on that spot.
So the idea came about, you know, in talking with our contractor and designer, you know, and the cost that would be incurred as far as a fourplex and just, you know, thinking outside the box of, you know, could we, you know, go about this a different way and get additional units or get the, you know, the 4 units.
That building's in C3, correct?
C2.
C2.
Oh, even better. So, okay.
But is
the whole I just have a question. The whole property surrounding it is already, is that all mobile homes already, Anne?
Yes. Yeah, so it's grandfathered.
And they own it all as one property, right?
Yes. It's all one.
So we were just talking about this last month. Does that fall under the ordinance for a remodel in that area where as long as it stays consistently the same, an upgrade or a remodel could still be done?
Yes, so they could remodel that building.
But they're wanting to remove it and then put 3 more.
Right, but they would still fall under the same
but they want to put in apartments? Did I hear that wrong?
No, manufactured homes.
Remodel that building or potentially expand it or replace it. And all of those would be allowed by the zoning.
Correct.
But what they asked today was, what if they remove that building and put in some manufactured home spaces instead?
Which is already what is in that area, right?
It is what's in that area, but our zoning code doesn't allow manufactured or mobile home parks. So it's non-conforming, and the non-conforming use provisions don't allow expansion of
I guess maybe I'm confused, because I thought when we talked about it last month, we talked about those areas were grandfathered in, so they can't be expanded, but they can stay the same to be up
be
to code.
An expansion.
So this is an expansion.
Adding more spaces, more manufactured
more lots,
home spaces.
But it's to the existing
Within the existing
property,
boundaries.
Right.
Yeah, so is that an expansion?
I personally feel like it wouldn't be an expansion because you're staying within the law itself. I guess maybe that's why I'm a little confused.
Didn't we allow an exception
right, but the
on Broadway in C2 on areas for multifamily units?
So multifamily units are outright permitted in C2, yes.
They're outright permitted. This would not qualify for that.
Not if it's manufactured homes. That's not, it's not a multifamily building.
So the replacement gonna be, going to be?
Manufactured homes.
Manufactured homes.
That's what they're asking. They're, I think it's kind of like feasibility of figuring out what's gonna work better for them.
How would this, how would the connections work if it's usually, if it's connected, if it's designated for one trailer?
It's a building. It's a block building. It has an apartment in it. It has some, like a shower room.
Correct, but say if they demolish that.
Yes.
And they put three more trailers in there, that means there's gonna be three more sewers, three more connections, meters?
Well, there'd be individual connections to the park system that goes to the city system.
Was the zoning of this before it ever became a trailer park? Or did the zoning happen after?
The zoning happened after.
Yeah, way after. Their grandfather did.
That park has been there for decades.
What would be the purpose of zoning something that's already residential to commercial? Is there a hope that it will someday not have homes on it? Is that, I know that nobody on this commission was probably here at the time, but do you have any insight?
So what happens on that, and I mean, this was done long before any of us were on the planning commission, that area was deemed important commercial area for commercial growth. I mean, as of right now, there is no commercial property available in Othello until some things get developed. So there's actually great need. It is not contiguous with what is also going on everywhere else and what's around it. So that makes it somewhat problematic, especially when you're dealing with a commercial zone 3, where there is so much, I mean, there's a lot that's allowed there. And when you put residential butting up against commercial 3, you're looking for complaints. I mean, that's the reason why. As that area, as commercial 3 kind of took that area over, unfortunately, that area, that little spot is not consistent with what everything else is happening there.
Sure.
So with that in mind, and then on top of that, you know, it was grandfathered in a long time ago, as anything is when you change zoning, when you add zoning, when you do any of that, what is there can stay there. You can't just get rid of it. And we have ordinance to say that. But when you change it, you have to stay consistent with what is allowed in the zoning. So for example, they could put up apartments, like no problem. That's allowed there. Multifamily units are allowed there, but manufactured homes are not allowed in any residential zone in Othello.
Manufactured home park, just to clarify.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there is nowhere where that's.
But that's only for new.
For new, right.
For new.
So the existing ones
which
can
I feel like
continue.
Is what makes it tricky.
Existing ones can still.
This is what makes it tricky.
Because they have that grandfathered in. So.
But the expansion is not allowed under the grandfather clause.
So if one unit was replacing that, would that be expansion?
That would be fine.
The issue is that three units are replacing one.
You got it.
But if that house or that building is, say, of, I don't know how many rooms is it?
Two. I think she's.
Is it just two?
Well, it's a
good sized building. Let me.
That's where the problem is.
Because, I mean, if it's equaling out to the same bedrooms and the bathrooms.
So it's, and it's also.
It's grandfathered in. It's not expanding the property line. It's a weird one.
The impacts on changing the ordinance would be substantial. I mean, that's going to affect the whole town. So you could also look at rezoning. I mean, which is also a substantial.
Well,
thing.
Rezoning wouldn't help because manufactured home park is not allowed in any.
So that doesn't change it. So basically, the only thing that we're, I mean, kind of up against.
So what are we looking for? A variance or?
So
This is a fun one.
Well, isn't it just our job to clarify what the code currently says? And isn't it up to the council if there was a variance request?
Yes.
So a variance would go to the council.
We could make a recommendation.
A variance would go to the hearing examiner. But you can't do a variance on use, so there really isn't an avenue.
So I, what?
So what?
What they're asking to do is the outside of the use of that piece of that lot?
It's the building type that's outside the use.
Building on, that's on it.
The building type and the expansion is problematic with current zones and current allowed use.
But if the mobile home right across the roadway there was going to be torn down and anyone be put in, that wouldn't be a problem.
If what?
So they can replace any of the existing units.
It's just the fact that it's a stick and stone building that they're asking on.
If you're adding more units than are there now.
If you expand on one grandfather clause, you expand on them all.
So it's not, our only power would be to change the code, right? Not to grant approval for one thing anyways.
We would only make a recommendation.
Sorry, recommendation of change.
We would make a recommendation to.
That's essentially what's being asked of us, to make a recommendation for change to code? Is that fair to say?
Not being asked to do that tonight, it's just to kind of discuss if you think that's a good idea, we can pursue it and go through the proper channels. It was just, I talked to Nicole today and we had a meeting tonight. And so I said, why don't you ask your question? Kind of get some feedback and that would give them some input into, you know, this decision they're trying to make about that building.
Sure, it'd be nice if it just turned into a multi-family unit. That would be pretty painless and easy.
Well, weren't they saying as well they wanted to build up?
Well, that's why I was saying multi-family units there would be pretty nice.
Their options versus their costs. So I think.
But they're able to do that on that property even though all the rest are mobile homes?
That's allowed, correct?
In the C2 zone.
We changed that in commercial two to allow that opportunity to address housing issues. Mm-hmm. And we had a number of stagnant commercial properties that we thought would be pretty good multifamily units.
So they can tear that down and put a four.
They could do it right now. Great question, Jose. And we lucked out. We got Councilman Lawless here. Councilman Lawless, anything you want to add to this, or you just let us? We can keep on this, but it's a great opportunity if you have anything to add.
I don't really want to get up and stand.
I know, it's so weird. We got people again here today, so.
I don't know how the other council members would feel about this, but it's an existing trailer park. And if you guys are in support of it, but you cannot make any determination that will affect it, you can't. You'd have to come back to council, like Ann said, with a recommendation of some sort to have the council vote on it. The council can hear this from these individuals. They can be brought in front of the council and asked for a conditional use of that property for variance. Now there's an existing building that's there that would be torn down. Looks like there's enough room for three more units there. It is an existing trailer park that's been there since the 70s. You know, I remember it when I was a kid driving into this town.
Yep.
So it's been there forever. A conditional use might be that they blacktop the pavement, you know, pave it, get rid of the gravel, make it look a little bit more appealing, you know, do some things that would, you know, not set that apart from other things in the area.
That's a good point.
You know, so if they would come to the council, ask for a variance, have a plan of what they're actually wanting to do, I don't think that it would increase the traffic flow that significantly to have three units there that were being used, because people don't just have one car anymore, they have three or four, you know? But I don't think that that's a burden on that area down there where it exists. So as a council member, my recommendation is that you guys have heard what they had to say. You can't do anything about it. These individuals need to come to the council and have a plan when you come to the council and think about improving that area for the aesthetics of this community. What could you do to make it look better when you add in three more units? Mm-hmm. Okay, that's all I got to say.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilman Lawless. That's actually really good advice. My next question on this is if they're going to, what sort of requirements, if they're taking the building down, replacing it, what sort, are there any, and they own the whole property, what sort of requirements do they have for that property related to this, or is it small enough that it wouldn't have those, that it wouldn't kick that in? Because, I mean, when it was built, it had a lot different rules. Now you have a lot more code that's in place on that.
I think that's something that have to be, we're not going to find any rules in our code because it's a unique situation. Mm-hmm. And so
this is a tough one.
I think, like Councilmember Lawless said, it's going to be kind of a case by case of what they're proposing and what the council is willing to permit.
I think it's worth going to council personally. I think that it is super unique what they have going on. They're not changing the structure of the whole lot itself. So they're not making changes to the trailer court itself in size. Mm-hmm. They are adding more units, and I get that's where it's weird. But I think three more units, me personally, I think it's worth city council, them taking it to city council.
It's interesting where that will fit into conditional use. You know,
I don't think it actually would fit as a conditional
use. This would fit in.
I don't think it would.
See, that's where I'm at, is I don't think, and the
because
problem
it's specifically
I, where this
prohibited.
Becomes really problematic is exception for one, as you all know, is exception for all. And you know, when I first got on the Planning Commission, we had a code book about this thick because of exceptions people had made for their friends. And we cut it down to about here. So this is one of those tough areas where the implications of what we do could go a lot farther than just this little spot. And that's the tough thing about this.
It seems like it's not even our call anyways. It's out of
it's
our
not
hands,
our call.
Right?
So it's not. It's gonna go to council. And we could make a recommendation. We could vet this out and make this a lot easier for the council to review. And that's probably the best thing we can do.
But so if it does get changed, how many mobile parks do we have in town that's going to affect it? It's just that
I think there's just two.
That one and the other one down
two.
The road.
And so, but what's the space between both? What's the spaces between the trailer parks or trailer parks? Are we allowing them to
couple
have
blocks?
Because
are you talking about like in between each one trailer park, or
yes,
between the
because like on the other one that's right next to them, I mean, it looks like they're pretty kind of tight already. So like they won't be able to expand. Mm-hmm. But I'm just looking at the other trailer parks. If there's a space limit between trailer parks and they already hit that limit and there's no room for expansion, then even if we allow them to put three trailer parks, the other trailer park next door still won't be able to expand because there's a.
I like your thought process on them. Like I said, second you start playing with what you allow circumstance to circumstance, mm-hmm. that's across the board. And that becomes becomes what makes this ugh. Like I said, it'd be really easy if you put in a couple of quadplexes or some triplexes in there. That's allowed. That would work no problem.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. If they can put a fourplex, that would be great. But then they can also put an eightplex because they can go up. But then
I like that even better.
But then we have the always issue that we always have, which is parking.
Yeah.
She has a question.
Yeah, you gotta meet the parking.
She has a question.
We got a question.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to say this has been really insightful and helpful, and hearing you all debate it and talk about possible solutions is really inspiring to us and hopeful to us. We own 5 mobile home parks. We're small potatoes. What I'm hearing though, and what I've learned from speaking with Ann Henning, is that the city of Othello is looking for affordable housing. And so we have a lot to figure out, because to put a lot of money to fight this and put a lot of money into just adding 3 mobile homes to the existing park, if that commercial zoned property could potentially have an apex on it, a tent, you know, something that would really solve a problem. We're problem solvers. And so we maybe that's a different avenue. I mean, that's bigger than what we have ever done before. We're not developers, but we are looking at solutions. So maybe we pivot and try to work with the city to see about grants, funding, something to allow us to, we don't want to displace anybody that's currently there, but this gives us options. So I don't want to waste too much of the council's time coming up with solutions if we likely won't go down that path.
Well, I love what you had to say on that. And you actually are cutting off my next question, was kind of before you spoke on that, is how can we help you get into this opportunity? We actually have a number of different programs and some things available that might make that more palatable for you to consider an option that's already allowed and could really help you out. But I'll also tell you that Othello is right now at a 1,500 unit deficit for the amount of housing that we need for people. So it won't take you very long to fill that thing up.
Yeah, that's good to know.
How do we find those resources as we start to continue down this path?
So I already shared the multifamily tax exemption. That's actually the only one I can think of.
That's the first one that popped into my head.
Yeah.
But any of the things that we can do, going back to what we said a couple of years ago, trying to be facilitators of projects, mm-hmm. is kind of a great opportunity for us. So,
and provided,
I'm excited you guys are interested in it.
Yeah, and provided me a lengthy resource list of state funding and grants and all kinds of ideas. So it has been extremely helpful in this, because we're kind of fish out of water, but we're not opposed to it. And of our 5 parks over Oregon, Washington, and one on the East Coast, this little Othello park was our very first one. And we have no desire or, current plans to, we never think about selling just making money off of the commercial value of the property. Like, we want it to be a place that people live and have a long-term plan to hold it. So we are totally open to expansion if that's what's needed, and that's what the city would allow, and the zoning allows, and whatever the path of least resistance is. But our biggest resistance is just funding, but we're open to it. So thank you.
Yeah, I think that's probably the easiest. It's allowed right now. So, and how we can help you with that would definitely be. So what do we do at this point, Ann? We're just going to wait on this one?
I think you've given them some things to think about, and yep. So I think we're...
If you have any other questions, concerns, you definitely brought a very thought-provoking issue to forward to us. Hey, it's just a shame we don't have our normal guru, Bob Carlson, with us to make it even more exciting, but maybe next time. But thank you so much. If there's anywhere we can help, we would love to help you with that.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time.
Actually, it looks like, just 1 second, because it looks like we have a council member who might have a question. I'm sorry, what was your question again? Was it Leah? You had a comment. I'm sorry, what was that again?
Me?
Yeah, your last comment. I got interrupted. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I didn't have a comment. I just said thank you.
Oh, you bet. Was there anything else to add, Ann?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you, Leah. That was, we really appreciate that. Anything we can do, please let us know. All right. Is there any other public input? All right, seeing none, we'll move on to approval of the minutes. You already received all your edits, Anne?
There were none this month. Can you believe it?
There were none?
Bob didn't find any typos in my.
Bob must have been on vacation.
No, he read it.
That's the only thing that would make sense. No, just kidding. Did anyone else have anything they wanted to, any concerns they had with the minutes? I'll entertain a motion to accept the minutes as written.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as written.
Do we have a second?
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Okay, minutes pass. Public commission training update.
Okay, I'm just waiting on one person that contacted me today, so I think we'll probably be good by our next meeting.
All right, and we're all up to date everywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Alma's the next one by November.
We'll move on to zoning updates. Anne, do you have anything to add before I move into public hearing? Do you have any background, anything else?
I'll try to get
we have an audience today, so that's rare for us. We normally, folks, we normally don't have much of an audience, so we don't really have much to go over reviewing these things.
So you have been talking about this for the last few months, but just as a refresher for everyone and for our audience tonight, we have been looking at ways to further implement the Housing Action Plan, make housing more available, affordable. And so we looked at specifying townhouses and cottages as planned developments, reducing the front setback for living area and porches for residential, not for garages. So there would still be 20-foot setback for a garage like there is now. But if the house design was such that the living area or porch came out closer to the street than the garage, it could be moved closer to the street to use that lot area more efficiently. And kind of in conjunction with that, right now the code doesn't allow an eave overhang into a front yard setback. So the house has to be set back the eave overhang as well. So just changing that. Right now the R4 zone requires extra landscape area for multifamily. And so we're looking at changing that. There is right now a minimum width for a house of 24 feet. And as we've discussed, that probably was added as a reaction to the requirement by the state that manufactured homes be allowed on residential lots. And I believe there was a fear that it would be a single wide. And so there was a, that if you require 24 feet, it has to be at least a double wide. But the state already allows us to have it be a designated manufactured home, which the state defines as at least two sections. So that issue is addressed that way. And then as we're kind of cleaning up our ordinances, I pointed out that there is a definition for building height and also height of building, and those two conflict, even though they were added in the same ordinance at the same time. And so we're going to have just one definition of how you measure the height of a building. And we're going to do it the same way the building code measures the height, is my proposal. Code has definitions of mobile home, manufactured home, and mobile home park that are very dated and inaccurate. So we're going to make those simpler and more accurate. And then the requirement in the general provisions that accessory buildings are limited to not more than 25% of the rear yard area. Just making it so that people can choose how they use their rear yard area. And then the last one is that there is a general code provision called wells, It's actually window wells and stairwells, so we're going to add in some language to make that more clear.
A little more clear.
So those are the changes we've been discussing. So at this point, it's been, all those changes have been reviewed by the city attorney. She did make some comments before your last meeting. She had made those comments, and we discussed those, just making it a little more clear. The SEPA review's been done. We are not required to submit it to Department of Commerce because we're not a fully planning jurisdiction under the Growth Management Act. I did introduce this to the city council. I don't remember any comments, so I don't believe there are any substantive comments about that. And so tonight, you're going to hold your public hearing, and then after that, make a recommendation to the city council.
Everyone understands what we're doing?
I do.
Yes.
I know you have questions.
Well, I as I was thinking about more about just one thing, and I know that probably that my timing isn't good on this.
Hey, Rob, what I think I'm going to do, if you don't mind, to just stay in order, I'm going to open the public hearing, mm-hmm. go through all the input, and then let's go through our points unless you want to add it before the public hearing. I have a list of things, too.
Okay.
If that, I mean, I got a big
list. I was going to ask if it was the right time, but if it's after the public hearing.
I think what we typically do is take input from the public. Again, this is weird. We have an audience. And I'll kind of explain how we do the planning commission, maybe a little different than what you're used to in city council. But I'll open the public hearing. We will take pro, we will take con and neutral testimony. If you have any of that to add to this ordinance, you come forward during those times, identify yourself, where you live, give that testimony. We will include it in our considerations that will then go to the Planning Commission for hopefully ultimately a recommendation to go to the City Council. Okay? Fantastic. Then let's go ahead at 6:38. We're going to call this public hearing to order. We've had the evidence put before everyone on what is going to be happening with this ordinance. So if there's anyone who would like to speak in favor of this ordinance, please come forward and add your testimony. I don't see Bob getting unmuted, okay. If there's anyone who is neutral about this ordinance and would like to add testimony, please come forward now. Seeing none, if there's anyone opposed to this ordinance, please come forward and provide testimony now. I don't see Bob coming off either. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing at 6:39. And we'll open it up to discussion. Questions? Rob, you had some.
More of a comment, I think. As I thought more about the front street setback, I felt like it was unanimous that the commission felt reducing it to 10 feet was gave more opportunity for people that, in their building. The only thing that I thought of that was a concern for me, there's not that many open lots in town, but there's a few. And I thought, what would it look like if someone was to build on an existing lot with houses that had 20-foot setbacks and then built a 10-foot setback house? That might be, it might be odd. If you're sitting in your living room and you're always able to look this way, now you're looking at a house, maybe there should be some verbiage speaking to allowing the setbacks on new developments, but having to conform to the houses around it that are existing.
I would just like to point out that I said the same thing and everyone said, why are we going to do it this way? No one's going to build it on one single lot. And so you guys decided, let's all throw it into a plan development only.
On which one?
When we were discussing this, like three months ago.
For the plan development, I think that was for cottages and townhouses.
No, that's only for, that is only, this is for any house.
Okay.
So this is.
Because I brought that point up and I was shot down.
So where this becomes applicable, is, let's say like you have your current home right now and you decide you want to throw a patio out there on your front yard.
Okay, so you're talking about just the...
You can't do that right now. That's not allowed.
Covered, if it's just pavement, you could, but...
Yeah, but if it's covered, you can't.
Okay.
So that would be an example of how this would change that. It allows you to utilize more of your property. Now, what Rob brought up was something that I have on my list of things, and that is talking about neighborhood continuity and conformity. And that will be impacted by this, by allowing, by changing the setbacks, not including the parking. So there's a potential for that impact. And is that something we should be concerned about? And like Rob just said, when I look to my right, there's now part of a building or part of a gazebo or patio. Is that problematic? Is that freedom? Is that an infringement to your neighbor? I think is what you're asking. Is that correct?
I would think more toward the continuity that you were talking about.
Or is it important to maintain continuity?
You see these houses, and then one house is 10 feet closer to the curb.
Is that problematic?
How would it look at the aesthetics of the neighborhood? And so I just thought it was worth bringing up again, mm-hmm. just this one item that came to mind.
Anyone have comment on that or concern?
I think it's valid. I think, it could be a problem, definitely.
And I'm only thinking of the few lots that are currently mm-hmm. have no building on them.
So for a planned development, we would probably still allow this.
As far as like, yeah, well, not even planned development, but a new neighborhood, and they're all set back 10 feet, it's not a big deal. But if you had one in a neighborhood that's been around for 20 years, 30 years, and all of a sudden someone says, oh, I can build 10 feet set back.
Or somebody want to put an addition on their house, now they can do it 10 foot to the front yard.
Yeah,
that too.
I get it, but I think that the owner decide what they want to do. I mean, it's gonna give value to the house. It's gonna
right. But like, at that point, are we bothering our neighbor by allowing that? I guess it's a little bit of a toss up because I say it all the time. I don't like being told what to do with my own property, right? But at the same time, we don't want to be sitting in our living room next door and it'd be a nuisance for our neighbor.
Since we have an audience and it's a little new for us, we typically run this meeting as think tank versus strict Roberts rules. So if anyone does have a comment that they want to add, just raise your hand to be recognized, and you have to come up to the mic and be recognized. And we always take comments during these things to get as inclusive as possible an answer that we can get to the city council. Bob Carlson always gives us a lot of good input in his opinions on this, because usually he's our audience. So if you have something, feel free. I kind of lean towards the freedom to let people build is kind of where I'm at. And I looked at, I really thought about neighborhood continuity and conformity. I mean, you can't mess with parking areas, and you can't mess with the garage. That stays where it is.
And there's also required landscaping, too.
Huh?
Yes. Required landscaping is going to play a role, too.
Right. But that basically you're talking about what was a 20-foot, what was a 20-foot space that you couldn't build in turns into a 10-foot. And I did kind of do exactly like you're saying, Rob. I looked down the side. What does that look like? Does that really affect the aesthetics? And if my neighbors did it, would it really bug me? And I wasn't really too excited about it. But that was just me personally. I thought it was a great thing to bring up. I think that there's some neighborhoods, you're right, that are set up that way. But as neighborhoods change, do we want to hold everyone to that 20-foot setback while we let the rest of the city be at a 10? or we'd keep it at 20. All the way around and contain conformity throughout the city.
I feel like the discussion was good about going to 10. I think everyone,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I just don't remember there being a discussion about what if
what
one
it looks
lot.
Like. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you see it now, like you see houses that they had garages, I see them on 4th, and then they'll make them into rooms.
Another, yeah.
And so then, like, I mean, there's not conformity there, but there's that opportunity. And so I think if someone buys a house and does a 10 feet push forward, someone's gonna look at it and be like, hey, that's awesome, I wanna do that to mine. And then you might see a little bit more of people repurchasing home and remodeling it to that formity. Fixer uppers, stuff like that, you see things.
I think I'm still where I was before, just leaving, allowing that.
10 feet?
Mm-hmm. We did put something in place for the corner lots though, right?
Yeah, I thought we changed it for corner lots.
You have to maintain the sight lines.
Yeah, the sight
so
lines.
You can't impact safety.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, and so when you turn in your plans, that has to be maintained, and that's established in ordinance. Great question. Councilman Lawless, nothing? Do you think the council will have any heartburn over us letting them build 10 foot closer?
I can't speak for everybody.
Well, we know you can't. Do you have any heartburn over it?
I don't, but there may be a few that
I had one councilman bring up now. Neighborhood conformity to me and wanted me to explain it better. But the misunderstanding that councilman had was he thought we could take it to 5 feet from the, and I said, no, right away remains right away.
Yeah, remember the right of way is about 13 feet behind the curb.
Yep.
So you have, right now you've got about 33 feet that the houses
to
are
go to a house
from the curb, and it would be more like 23.
I don't have a strong opinion either way. I thought it was something that should be discussed.
I think with that point, yeah. Does anybody want to change it? Have any, or are we still pretty in unison on that?
It's not gonna be any different than somebody planting a row of arborvitaes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's going to.
It just becomes living space.
Yeah. I think people need to think about resale value and how that's going to make your neighborhood look, but.
No heartburn.
No.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
That was the only thing that I wanted to discuss.
Of course, we have some things that are limited to new developments and planned developments. That's where we start engaging in townhouses and the cottage housing developments.
Everything else I thought was accurate with our discussions, and I think Ann nailed it.
Also, the change on, I thought this one is worth highlighting, that the change from where a house can be built in R2 and R3, having R1 made consistent with that. You can build front, if you're at the side, if your house is, you can build up to 10 foot if you're in R2, R3, R4, but you have to be 15 foot away from the curb from the side in R1. So we changed that to 10 foot to make that consistent.
Everyone understands
that and is okay with that consistency. I had a question on page 12 of the packet, which would be page 6 of the zoning. And that was, there was a comment about landscaping area for residential that was removed. I think we did that before. Or is that a new removal?
No, that we've been discussing that, where the R4 zone required, in addition to the landscaping that's required by the landscape code, 300 square feet per dwelling unit, additional landscaping.
Right.
And it doesn't even specify that that's for multifamily, although I think that was the intention. But just to have it all go to the landscape chapter, just there, because there's, in the landscape chapter, you remember there's the requirement for general landscaping, and there's just, based on the square footage you're building, you need to provide a certain number of points of landscaping.
So just, this just avoids repeating the same verbiage from the landscaping ordinance, right? That's why it's just like a reference back to the landscaping.
Well, otherwise here, you're requiring like two different things.
Different types of landscaping.
That's why, yeah. That's why,
okay,
we got rid of it.
That's why we got rid of it.
So again, removing redundancies.
Right, yeah. Okay.
And we already, Ann already covered building height, making it consistent, not said two different ways. And we are required to have definitions for manufactured and mobile homes in our code. So that's the change that exists in there.
I don't know if we're required to, but we have existing ones that don't make sense, where we define.
We fixed our code.
Yeah, we define a manufactured home as a mobile home when those are different. You know, the manufactured home was built after 1976 to the HUD code. Mobile home was a trailer from before then. So they're not the same thing at all. And so it's problematic to define them as being the same thing.
Right. And the other problematic item is, just to remind everyone, that mobile homes are not allowed in any of the zones. Is that correct?
So a true mobile home, a pre-1976 home, would be allowed only in a mobile home park, which we have the two non-conforming ones. A manufactured home can be placed on a residential lot, but it has to be new. It has to be brand new right off the lot.
Right. Mm-hmm. So everyone understands that. So that definition is important. And it's important for me if I have to explain it to city council. John, anything else in this ordinance that you think we should review? Does anyone else have any comments or questions? Okay. Does anyone on council have anything else? Excellent. I guess if somebody wants to make a motion for a recommendation, I'd entertain it at this time.
I'll make a motion to recommend the, is it ordinance to city council?
Is this a full ordinance?
It will be an ordinance. I'll put it in ordinance form. So these changes to the zoning code.
Okay.
So we have a motion. Is there a second? There's a second. Maria's a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. I gotta go find my agenda again. All right. So, Anne, what are we going to do with ourselves at this time? This is rare. This is rare area for us. Do you have anything you want to bring up for us? Do we want to go in? Is there any old business that you're prepared to go into?
No.
Okay.
Full disclosure, I had a great conversation with AJ Ochoa the other day. And he was not aware of our housing action plan. So I sent it to him. And he got pretty excited about that, for some of the stuff that they're talking about doing with the development and how it actually supports some of the work they want to do, some of the paperwork that they have to get in line, maybe some grant opportunities and some things that the banks would want that we've already defined. I thought that was kind of interesting to know, when somebody's doing a big annexation and a big position, how that, I mean, that conversation turned into 3 days. Yeah, yeah. So I also feel a lot better about where that development is going as well. It sounds like, and you'll be getting a lot of, if you haven't already, you're going to be getting a whole bunch more stuff on it.
Okay.
I figured you'd be heartbroken to hear that. I was not heartbroken. He, however, has rejected Doro Trail being added to that, so that was a little disappointing for you new members. I've been pushing for, if you live in the Seattle area, you've heard of the Burke-Gilman Trail, which goes right through the middle of town. Great thoroughfare for pedestrians to safely use. And we have looked at in our transport action plan.
Yeah, the active transportation plan.
That has been, that was one of the things, and there was a trail that was kind of identified, which I decided to name the Doro Trail, but unfortunately it did not receive a motion or a second. It did receive a lot of animosity, however, from the council at the time. So with now new council members, maybe I should bring it up again.
I don't think it's
going to
go very far. I'm going to tell you that right now.
I believe we may be in the same place, Ann. I keep trying. Does anyone else have any questions, concerns? I thought it was interesting, though, that you know, we might want to, again, make people aware about the housing mm-hmm. plan, because mm-hmm. it's a good plan.
Mm-hmm. We're also in the midst of doing a lot of other housing planning. We just got a draft of a land capacity analysis that was done for the county as a whole, looking at how much land is there that's vacant, that's underdeveloped, partially developed. And so that will feed into our comprehensive plan update within the next few years. So there's a lot going on.
I'll go ahead, Aunt
sorry.
Alma.
I have a question, and I don't know if it's a weird one or not, but I'm going to ask it anyway.
Well, we have time.
Is it possible, is it weird for the city to possibly, like Chris was just talking about how not a lot of people are aware of that tax exempt for multifamily. Is it possible to get that information to realtors in the area? So that realtors, I mean, they're the ones who are going to be the middleman when a developer is looking for a piece of property. So if we maybe had something we could give the realtors in
So if you go to othelloa.gov/MFTE, there is the link to the ordinance. There's a flyer, like a two-page flyer. So we've got stuff. It's just getting it to
you
people.
Having to know where to look for it.
Yeah, they
might not know where to look for those things. I just think maybe if it's possible for maybe the city to send that to some local realtors in town, just so that when they have big developers looking for properties, it's something that's a little more enticing to build in Othello. Mm-hmm.
Well, now that Alma's a golfer, she might suddenly become a developer too.
I could, you never know.
Hit a quick link.
Yeah.
I just, after my discussion with AJ, and then I had a talk with Gil and the whole crew after that, I was kind of surprised that they weren't jumping all over that beforehand. It just surprised me a little bit. Well, you know how that goes.
So I do mention it, like I mentioned it to the people with the mobile home park. I did mention it to them. I try to mention it every time somebody's talking about it. I'm like, hey, we've got this program. Here are the, you know, here's the information. So on the city, the building and planning page, if you look, so right here, multifamily tax exemption here on the menu.
Do we know how many units we have left available still for that? That's a real detailed question, but
I do know. So right now, the two apartment buildings under construction.
Right.
They applied for the conditional certificate. They need to finish up now that they're getting their units almost done. They need to apply for the final certificate, but that's 48 units between those two buildings.
Okay.
Out of the 300 limit.
So we're capped at 300. I couldn't remember.
By the ordinance. So that's something that the council can change if they want to. Mm-hmm. So we still have 252.
Nice. I mean,
technically, all 300 are still available, but.
Okay.
John, you and I are thinking the same way on that for now.
Well, yeah, because we have those future annexes that are coming up, aren't they? Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Those future annexes.
So the annexation areas would need to, they're not within the tax-exempt area, and so they would need to apply and go through a process to be added to that.
But there's a process.
Mm-hmm. There is a process.
There is a process.
And there's hope.
But that's, that, I mean, that's where, that's the other important aspect. So that's where, when AJ and I had our discussion, it was all over the place on that, so.
Well, because I'm just saying, because like, you know, you were, ain't there building like a two-story building in your house? So it's like, I mean, technically, they can apply for it if they're in that zone area.
It's a percentage that you have to, it's.
You have to have at least 4 units.
Yeah.
And you have to have a density of 15 units per acre.
So that's, so that becomes a little problematic. It's a pretty specific sort of circumstance where that comes into.
Okay.
But it's a good circumstance. Because in Othello, like I said, we're 1,500 units short of what we need.
But it'll be more easier to do it at a new,
yeah,
and like a new annexation than it is to do at a current housing because of the whole requirements, I'm assuming.
Yes, it does need to be. I forget what the wording is, but so when the council is designating the areas, it has to be a mix of commercial and residential. So you can't just plunk it out in the middle of a residential with no commercial.
Right.
So you can kind of see the maps. It's a little hard to see, but maybe it'll be bigger like this. When we were looking at this area or this in the first place, you see how all of the residential areas are tied in with commercial areas. So the areas that are in red, those are the existing MFTE areas.
So the spot that we talked about today actually would qualify. It's already.
Yes.
Yeah. See, that's why all of a sudden my head started going ding, 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 ding. Yep. It said, well, I mean, might make this better for you guys and add a lot more housing if you look at this.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you have the housing, you have the whole empty spot right there, but that's, I think that's commercial, isn't it? The one in front of CBHA, that empty lot on 26th and 14th. That would be commercial though. That's not residential.
I think what you're thinking about is residential, but it's also allowed if it's C2 commercial, that it's allowed there too. Mm-hmm. And so when we were doing these boundaries, it was based on, is it zoned R3 or R4 residential, okay, or commercial?
Or C2 commercial. Any other questions on that?
No, I just think it's interesting.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's interesting because it's a great tool to stimulate housing. You know, it's been pretty effective in a lot of cities. And, well, we got, 48 used of the 300, so not too bad for us either.
I've given out the flyer to a lot of people. So.
Maybe when Alma builds her apartment complexes,
there
she can name a trail after me.
It'll be.
You pay for the trail, you got.
It won't be in
want,
city limits because it'll be right next to the golf course.
Next to the golf course.
Okay, guys, you know this is the last time I come in my golf stuff. All right.
Any other questions, concerns? All right. Well, I guess I don't want you guys to get too used to this, because Alma will tell you for years I've never let anyone out before 8 o'clock, and it's usually much after. But if you all don't have anything, I would entertain a motion to call this meeting.
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting.
Been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Hearing none. I'm going to close this meeting. Is adjourned. Oh, all those in favor say aye.
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 This meeting is adjourned 7:04. Thank you all very much. Nice job, guys. Oh,